You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Feb 7, 2022. We are live streaming right now at Larry Connors, USA YouTube channel. Larry Connors, USA YouTube channel. In addition to you listening, you can also be watching and subscribe for free to either YouTube channel or our Facebook and get podcasts automatically sent direct to your email address. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, is saying that if Russia really wants to go in to Ukraine and move quickly, they could, it's not a pretty picture, they could control Kiev, the capital, within 72 hours. 72 hours. At a cost of 15,000 Ukrainian troop deaths, 4,000 Russian troop deaths, number of civilian casualties, not estimated. No U.S. boots are on the ground in Ukraine. We are neighboring nations that are with NATO. Talks continue. I just had a guest on the last hour. If you missed it, you want to pull up that podcast. Stephen Bryan with the Center for Security Policy saying one of the things that's holding up right now is weather conditions, kind of muddy for them to carry out some of their maneuvers. So they're going to wait maybe to March, maybe April. But it, according to the White House, still imminent. Imminent. Intercepted communications apparently obtained by the U.S. revealing that some of the Russian officials are worried that a large scale of invasion of Ukraine would be a lot more costlier and difficult than Putin imagines. No surprise there, right? And others are saying Putin's really looking for a way to save face and back out if we can find a way to have some talks that satisfy him to some extent. Maybe involving agreement that NATO will not do anything about Ukraine at this point, but it could come back up again in the future. An FBI database of police officers killed in the line of duty showing more have died since Joe Biden became president than deaths dating back to 1995. In 2021, 73 officers killed in the line of duty. 73 killed in the line of duty, nearly a 59% increase compared to 46 killed in 2020. Yes, the protest, the no bail or low bail programs, defund police, all of that stuff contributing. Dealing with mask mandates, vaccine mandates. Well, first of all, the mask mandates, Democrat New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is going to lift his state school mask mandates for children and staff. Not now. That will be March 7. But he gave word today that it's going to happen. In the meantime, Canadian police announcing that 7 have been arrested, more than 100 issued tickets because of demonstration-related enforcement in Ottawa. They're coming forward to help the truckers in the convoy. There's not violence. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to bring fuel and maybe food and other supplies into the truckers in their convoy. So numerous vehicles and cargoes of fuel have been seized, apparently. And, of course, the GoFundMe page that had been set up suddenly shut down because GoFundMe suddenly found it has a conscience that they considered this was a destructive event, so it was not going to support it, while they actively did support and encourage donations to Black Lives Matter and do so still. And, of course, as we watch the pandemic, all this going around, and Americans are fed up with watching the hypocrites tell you what to do, and then they go out and do what they want to do, right? More evidence of that. We'll be talking about it later in this hour. And the Spotify CEO said he will not remove podcaster Joe Rogan from that platform, despite him using the N-word various times. He said, we're going to take about 70 episodes off. But I'm not going to silence them. But we will give $100 million for licensing, development, marketing of music from minority groups. $100 million. In other words, can we buy you out that way? Meantime, NBC, opening ceremony of the Winter Olympics last Friday. An historic low in viewership. Just 17 million total viewers. That's down 43% from the previous games. China, wokeness, Americans say, stand steady. Coming up in the next segment, focus on law and order, or lack of. Stand by. For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief. And the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The answer is not to abandon our streets. That's not the answer. We're not about defunding. We're about funding and providing the additional services you need beyond someone with a gun strapped to their shoulder. I don't hear many communities, no matter what their color, their background, saying, I don't want more protection in my community. I don't know. I haven't found one of those yet.
That is Joe Biden, President Biden, last week in New York City, saying we really aren't going to defund police. No one really wants fewer police. And yet you know there are members of your party that have been pushing the progressives and scaring moderate Democrats into just be silent. Don't speak out against them. They'll cancel you. And yes, they do want to defund police. They've said it repeatedly. And even AOC said, when I say defund, I don't mean just take some money. I mean shut them down. And they also want to shut down prisons. They want to just, replace police with social workers. The two Harlem police officers that were killed the other day, and they had those massive turnouts and funerals displayed for them as officers from across the nation and around the world showed up to march in their honor down Fifth Avenue. They were called to a domestic dispute, basically. Now, if you follow the reasoning, and I use the word reasoning as if it should be in big, bold letters colored and marked with a question mark of the progressives, the officers would not have been sent to that scene. They would have sent some 22-, 4-year-old right out of college, trained in social behavior studies or something of that nature, and they would go up and ask, and is everything okay? And you know how they always want to talk and lift their voice at the end? And they would talk to them, and they said, we'll make it better. The officers were met with gunfire as they approached the door. I mentioned the news and commentary a moment ago. The FBI database of police officers showing in the year we just concluded, more officers died in that 1 year than any year going back to 1995. The president of the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund, a 20-year police vet, said when we look at that, the numbers, he said, you're talking about 73 officers killed in the line of duty on purpose, not by an accident. They were slaughtered, murdered, basically. And there's more to that part of that story. Let me come back to that in a moment. But back to the president of the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund. He said, we believe this increase of killing police officers is a combination of the George Floyd protest, riots, if you will, a general feeling of a preference for less law enforcement, less prosecution, less policing, plus law enforcement officers essentially marginalized, demoralized, cast aside, and encouraged now still to enforce the law. And so we've seen massive jumps in the homicide rate in cities across America. He said, a result of many of these officers are being assaulted because leaders of these cities and leaders in Congress and in the White House have really voiced a lack of respect for law enforcement officers. Well, you just heard Joe Biden say, I don't know if anybody really wants less policing. But you won't speak out to your own Democrat progressives and tell them, shut up. You're killing our police officers just by your remarks, and you're encouraging crime. And we talk about killing police officers. Some of these cases, they happen on the spot. Sometimes it's somebody that's already got a bad record. Maybe you've already been freed from another homicide. So what the hell? I got out last time easy enough. And no one cares if a police officer gets shot, because normally the first thing they're going to do, as we saw the other day, was some stupid actress in New York City at the bemoaning the fact that Fifth Avenue was shut down so she couldn't do her shopping or something, saying, well, the police officer probably was doing the wrong thing anyway and was out to kill people. Well, she had no evidence. She just says that. She doesn't need evidence. Evidence would involve facts, and facts don't fit the narrative. But here's a fact. Out of those 73 killed, it's pointed out that the last time more than 72 were killed was in 1995, when 74 officers were killed on the job, 1995. But they also, I was telling you about a moment ago, referenced last year, involves ambush attacks against police. One thing that they are dealing with a situation when they go into it, another way is just they're being called to a false report just to be ambushed, or sitting in their car, or just taking a break, and they get ambushed. Why? Because they represent law and order. And because of the progressive attitudes about how we're going to treat these people. I want you to hear Senator Kennedy, John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana. He said, the problem we have, and I think it certainly leads to the number of police deaths increasing that we have seen. He said, it obviously all is traced back to wokeness, which redefines everything.
One of the cardinal tenets of wokeism is that the criminal is the victim. The victim isn't the victim. The criminal is the victim. Wokers believe that no one should have to accept responsibility. They believe that it's always someone else's fault. And their motto is, hear no evil, see no evil, prosecute no evil.
He's right. There's a state representative who's a Democrat in New York, a state representative now, not a congressman, Richie Torres. He's breaking with a large portion of Democrats and speaking out against defund police movements. In fact, he was on CNN Newsroom with Acosta, or whatever his name is, over the weekend. And he, again a Democrat from New York, described the far-left squad as, quote, profoundly tone-deaf, and argued that Americans actually want better policing rather than an out-of-touch solution. And he pointed out, yeah, it was to Jim Acosta on there, hosting his program, He said there's been an explosion of gun violence, and calling for the police department to be defunded during an outbreak of gun violence is a little like calling for the fire department to be defunded during the outbreak of a fire. He said there's several Democrats that actually agree with me, but they dare not speak out because they're afraid they'll be canceled. He said we need not aggressive, abusive policing. What we need is precision policing combined with reinvestments in underserved communities. There's common ground there. There's common ground, be you thinking that maybe police get too heavy-handed sometimes, and in some cases, they as a group and or a individual might be. But the problem with defunding and cutting monies means you're going to have less money to give. The better officer is going to go somewhere else or leave the job entirely because lack of money plus lack of respect, even from the White House. Why should you stay and do that? Why put your life on the line all the day for that? So you're going to get less experience, and therein opens up by default possible actions that should not have gone down with a police officer. Despite this push that wokeness is going to redefine everything and that the criminals are victims, as Senator Kennedy was saying, he also acknowledges, despite them pushing that in our face all the time, Americans are smarter.
Most Americans, at least those who have the IQ above a sloth, understand that's not the way the real world works. Most Americans understand that, unfortunately, and for whatever reason, there's some people in our society, Jesse, who are not sick, they're not confused, they're not mixed up. It's not that their mama or daddy didn't love them enough. They're just bad. Or at least they do very bad things. And that's why we have to have prisons.
Yeah. And they should stay in prison. I talked about this previously. You're going to hear many say, well, a lot of folks in prison are just there for drug charges. And if they're just possessing, or maybe they're just selling to friends, something, it shouldn't be that harsh of a punishment. You can have that talk all day long. But the key point here is, even before the low bail, no bail proposals started coming out of the progressives, plea bargaining. If they were caught selling drugs and with a weapon, they were going to be punished harder. So they would plea bargain off, take the gun out of the case, I'll plea bargain, I'll accept a sentence for the distribution, sell, and so forth. And so, yeah, you don't see it on their record because there is no record of guns being involved. But really, ask yourself, is there any drug dealer out there that does not have a gun and willing to use it? You'd have to be stupid to think otherwise, wouldn't you? That drug dealer won't last long in the business or life, if other drug dealers hear that. And then you've got the lack of laws or stupid laws. You got the Manhattan DA revealing last Friday that a pair of his most controversial policies, he sent out a memo calling for commercial robberies committed with knives to once again be prosecuted as felonies. There was a follow-up to his staff. He said, originally, holding up a store or other business with a firearm, quote, will be charged as a felony, whether or not the gun is operable, loaded, or a realistic imitation. The default in gun cases is a felony prosecution, he wrote. But that was kind of dealing with the fact that he had said a commercial robbery at knife point or by weapon that creates a risk of physical harm will be charged as a felony, and then backed off of that. He said, in retail thefts that do not involve physical harm, we'll continue to assess if they're mitigating. In other words, you can go in and grab as many Gucci bags as you can want and run out the store. If you don't show a knife or gun, no crime. We're not going to be dealing with it. So he started doing this walk-back memo saying, yeah, we will prosecute armed robberies of stores and businesses with guns or knives as felonies. the head of the New York Police Department, largest union, said cops don't want to be sent out to enforce laws the district attorneys won't prosecute. Which takes us back to Senator John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana, and the safety, not only for the officers, but for citizens on the streets.
It's safer to walk down the streets of Mogadishu than it is to walk down the streets of New York. And I've said this before. Chicago and to some extent my city in Louisiana, New Orleans, that I love to death, they've become the world's largest outdoor shooting ranges. What you allow is what will continue. And as long as we allow this, the criminals are not going to be unhappy with this, and they're going to keep committing crimes.
Yeah, and he, since he mentioned Chicago, at least 22 shot during this last weekend in Lori Lightfoot's Chicago. We need to stand up for police and law enforcement and be proud of it. Coming up, Senator Marco Rubio concerned about Ukraine, Russia, and U.S. boots on the ground. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I don't know anyone who's calling for or supporting U.S. troops being involved in a war in Ukraine. I certainly don't support that. Not even the Ukrainians are asking for it. On the other hand, if we live in a world where countries can say, look, that land belongs to us, we want it, we're going to go and take it for ourselves. If that's the world we now live in, we're back to 1937, 1938, 1939. And by the way, that's what China says about Taiwan and about parts of its border with India and parts of its border with Vietnam. In Europe alone, there are probably 8 or 9 countries who have leaders or at least movements in those countries that are arguing that they got, you know, screwed over by some treaty 120 years ago, and they would like to rewrite it. And if they have more military power than their neighbors, they go in and take it.
That's Senator Marco Rubio, Republican of Florida, saying, we start going down this path again, where is it going to stop? And he's absolutely right. He said, I do not want U.S. boots on the ground in Ukraine for this invasion to deal with Russia. And I don't know of anyone who does, any Republican senators. Republicans normally thought of as hawks. Yeah, we want peace, and we're willing to use it if we have to. But that is our last stand. You start it, we'll finish it for you. But if we can avoid it. Time magazine did a piece that came out over the weekend, and they pointed out they estimated there were about 200 U.S. troops inside Ukraine, but they'd been there for some time for other events anyway, and now they may or may not be in Ukraine as this has been escalating. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, stated the other day in a session with lawmakers that if Russia does decide to invade, Kiev, the capital of Ukraine, could fall within 72 hours at a cost of 15,000 Ukrainian troops and 4,000 Russian troop deaths. Word on civilian casualties not estimated. Supposedly, the U.S. is helping gear up nations surrounding Ukraine to the west, where those trying to evade or rather escape any Russian invasion might be seeking asylum and looking for a safe haven. In the meantime, today, President Biden is welcoming the new German chancellor to the White House, his first visit since he became chancellor. And, of course, in their parlay of diplomatic speech, as we get from the White House from time to time, they say they welcome him. It's a visit. President Biden very much looking forward to meeting with him, and that they will be quoting significantly about the situation in Ukraine and Russia. Really, significantly. Well, significantly means, are you going to hold him to account? Are you going to step up if we're going to need you? Germany has said we will support any sanctions the U.S. wants to impose against Russia. But Germany has not offered any kind of weapons to the Ukrainians. None. No kind of military aid, no kind of specific aid whatsoever. Because they want the gas from Russia, that Nord Stream gas pipeline. They don't want Russia to say, well, we'll shut you off. Hungary has been doing the same thing, apparently, suggesting that, yeah, we'll support you, but, you know, a lot of Europe now depending upon Russia. Maybe 40% of Europe depending upon Russia providing them fuel. My guest in the last hour pointed out we tried to talk them out of that back when I was with the Reagan administration. We tried to tell the European nations, do not get yourself more involved in accepting fuel from Russia with pipelines and so forth, because then they can suddenly decide we're shutting it off. Then what are you going to do? Well, the warning went unheeded. Coming up, the effort by the Canadian truck drivers, the convoy, the Freedom Convoy, and then the GoFundMe approach to suddenly all that money is going to help them, pulled back. Oh, yeah, we need to investigate that story. Stand by.
At Interstate 44 in Hampton, you can find new business and opportunity where there had been nothing. That all changed when Jay Ackerman had a vision. He built the new Ackerman Toyota dealership on one corner. Now other businesses getting involved. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Think about what occurred here. You had a business that essentially makes money off people, the goodness of their hearts, wanting to contribute to a cause that's important to them. You have a big business that encourages that. They take a percentage, not only a percentage of the donation, but money per donation. So they make money when they, when folks raise money through their platform. And then, without any notice to anyone, and no donor knows this before they make a contribution, they're going to make some political judgment that they think this isn't a worthy cause anymore and just shut down after raising millions of dollars. Folks wanted to help in this protest against heavy-handed cram-downs by government, as people have always done historically when government seeks to overreach and take away freedoms of its people. People push back peacefully. And you have a business here who makes money off people wanting to donate to that and then just shutting it down.
Just shutting it down. That's Ashley Moody, the Florida Attorney General, Republican, and talking about how the GoFundMe works. You've seen these GoFundMe events all the time. Well, when you put that together with GoFundMe and they then put it out and help you collect money for whatever you're doing, they make money off of it, too. They don't do it for free. It's a business for them. So if anything is drawing a lot of money, then they're making a lot of money. But then the other day, suddenly GoFundMe decided this trucker's convoy up in Canada, That's a violent event, and we don't support violent events and things, blah, 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 blah. There was no violence. But maybe they were reacting to Canadian police. The capital city of Ottawa declared a state of emergency. A state of emergency. Well, you would think, my God, what is happening? These demonstrations, they've gotten out of control, right? No. No, they here's what it comes down to from the mayor of Ottawa. And that might have been a reason that GoFundMe said, oh, we can use this as an excuse to shut this down, because a GoFundMe for the Freedom Convoy was truckers upset that they would have to show proof of vaccination to be driving their truck. So the Ottawa mayor said the protests pose a, quote, safety and security threat to the residents of Ottawa. Well, it will affect them because with the truckers saying we're not going to be delivering goods unless, you know, if they're an independent hauler, a lot of companies rely on that. Some companies have their own company trucks, and they will probably continue doing it if they need to. If they have contracts, they've got to keep their business going. But there's been no violence. But yet the mayor puts this statement out. Declaring a state of emergency reflects the serious danger and threat to the safety and security of residents posed by the ongoing demonstrations, highlights the need for support from other jurisdictions and levels of government. You know what Ottawa police have been doing? They have arrested and given out more than 100 tickets in connection with this demonstration. Mainly, they were stopping people that were trying to deliver fuel to the truckers and our food and supplies. The truckers were not involved in anything directly. Something like 500 trucks in that Freedom Convoy still the streets of the Canadian capital, protesting vaccine mandates and other coronavirus-related restrictions. And Ottawa police had to issue a warning saying anyone found bringing fuel to the demonstration trucks in the red zone could be subject to arrest and charges. Oh, my God, that is frightening, isn't it? They're not bringing the fuel, of course, as Molotov cocktails to throw them at police or city or state or government buildings or loot and set the neighborhoods and or the businesses on fire. Now, that would be a real demonstration, wouldn't it? That would be something that GoFundMe could say, we're not going to support that because that kind of stuff is wrong. Hold on a moment. But they did. I'll give you the example, but before we do, the hypocrisy that exists cannot be denied, even by those who would try to deny it. Like the mask mandates. How many politicians have we seen out without their mask after telling you that you had to be masked? We don't know how many have. I wonder if you could ask some of them, let me see your documentation. You've gotten a vaccination. What do you think would happen then? Would they have it with them? Could they show it to you? If you want to go in some of the venues, New York City and some of the other blue cities and states, and they're going to demand it. However, now we're suddenly seeing even blue cities and blue states begin to turn. The New Jersey governor announcing today they're no longer going to require kids be masked in school. Finally. But it won't happen until March. That governor is going against Joe Biden, who says kids should be masked, and he continues to push that. His own state of Pennsylvania is getting ready to declare kids don't have to wear the mask. And then, of course, you get all these folks, celebrities, Hollywood elites, and our Democrat progressives who tell you what to do, and then or even other Democrats, anyone, basically telling you that you have to wear a mask and then they don't. Most recent example, in addition to what happened at the Super Bowl weekend, not the Super Bowl weekend, but the playoff games that the governor of L.A. and the mayor of L.A. and the governor of California both seen without masks. And the L.A. mayor said, well, I actually was holding my breath for while we were taking those pictures. Right. Yeah. Well, hold it a little longer for us, will you? But then you get Stacey Abrams posing in front of a bunch of kids. All the kids, she's on the sitting on the floor in front of them, and all the kids are sitting behind her, masked. But you can see her right in the center, and she's posing without a mask on. She doesn't have a mask on. Now somebody's uncovered the story that there's still another level to it, that she said all the kids need to be masked up so I can take mine off and we can see me. So she... She said, you got to put your mask on so I can be here without mine on. And immediately folks started raising questions about that. And I got a note from Boots on the Ground in Chicago, Andrew, saying, it's such a bad look when I see that. They said, they can't even play the race card on this one, I'm thinking. That's what Andrew was saying. And he said, but then they find a way. I said, yeah, they did. Because her campaign put out, it's shameful our opponents are using a Black History Month reading event for Georgia children as a false political attack. In other words, because you're mocking Stacey with her mask off and the kids masked. That has nothing to do with race, because some of the kids behind her are also black, too. All right, back to this GoFundMe thing that they suddenly decided to pull back because the violent reports that were coming that did not exist, but there were reports it might have. They're now investigating in Florida and other states, saying, let's take a look at GoFundMe, what happens to that money, and let's go back to Ashley Moody, the Florida AG, on when GoFundMe has backed violence. Listen to this.
Think about this. Not only did they support that campaign when CHOP, when they took over a whole area and people were getting hurt, assaulted, there was even a death, they even sent out a separate tweet themselves to encourage more folks to donate to that cause. And that's what I'm saying. How in the world can you now come in and make a political judgment, impose your political will, when folks are trying to support those standing up for their freedom, for their rights?
Yep. But they do, don't they? You know, I pointed out to you last week. Last week we had the Johns Hopkins report research come out saying that we never should have had the quarantine or restrictions that were put in place, saying they did no good. Might have lowered fatality rate by 0.02%, 0.02%. Following day, a review of the major networks, plus the cable networks like CNN and MSNBC and so forth, New York Times, Washington Post, they all ignored the details of the story. They ignored it. That the lockdowns were useless and never should be used again like that. Not only for the economy, but for how they harmed the children. That was also part of it. Got ignored entirely. Today, CNN briefly this morning said this report from Johns Hopkins, like it just broke. It was last week, you idiots, and we know it, and you know it, and now you're just trying to slide it under the door and say, oh, we did report on it. I'm so thankful Americans are smarter than what they think most of us are. But they continue to push their wokeness and harm children. The story I have coming up next is wrenching. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. A reminder that we are live streaming Larry Connors USA on a daily basis now while we're on the air at Larry Connors USA YouTube channel. Larry Connors USA YouTube channel. You can tune in while the program's on and see it. Now, the reason I mention that is because someone had sent an email last week or posting to one of our accounts saying that there's nothing there. Well, when we're off the air, it's not posted anymore. It's only there while we're live, and then we take portions and put it up later. But while we're on the air, it's live, and then we take segments, we'll break out, do it for you separately. You can subscribe. You won't miss anything. Same thing with a podcast. If you miss hearing the program live or you want to pick up one and share it with someone else, I thank you for doing that. Simply subscribe. No cost. Just send us your email, and we'll send it to you directly. And then you have this story. Breaks my heart. It really does. Now, it's going to yours as well. January 5, some parents got a call from a woman who identified herself as Destiny Washington in a elementary school in Florida and said they need to come to school. It's about your daughter, a sixth grader, a 12-year-old. They wouldn't say anything else to them until the parents got there. They get there, they have to wait in the lobby for 20 minutes. Someone comes to escort them then to with the principal and police officer waiting nearby, and they're thinking, what is going on? Then finally they're told, you got called to school because your daughter, quote, had tried to commit suicide by hanging herself in the school restroom. We can imagine the parents' shock. And then they were told, the reason your daughter tried to do this because her gender identity issue and the fact that the daughter knew that her parents would not be in agreement with her wanting to change her identity because of their Christian Catholic religious beliefs. So the Perez's are still sitting there listening to all this. Then they're told this was the second attempt the child had made. She tried to do it the day before. Didn't say how and how she survived it. The parents were never contacted. The girl was having, quote, secret meetings with a counselor to discuss why she did it. And she would tell her, well, I like video games and a lot of boys like to do it. So some say you should be a transgender. You are a transgender. You should have your sex changed. And we're bullying the girl. And rather than calling the parents in at the first time, they decided not to do anything, just talk the girl through it and continue to encourage the girl to do what you want to with your gender and however you want. And so then she tried to commit suicide the second time. And the parents were not allowed to have custody of their child. In fact, they were told, your daughter's already been placed in the back of a police car and going to a mental health facility under a Baker Act, regardless of whether or not they approve, which apparently gives them a right to take the child if the child's in imminent danger and threat, which was, but the situation is entirely different than what it was intended. They were not given the option of going with their daughter or even being with her, so she was taken in by a police car to an emergency room, stayed till 4 a.m., then transferred alone again without comfort or support of parents to another emergency room, then admitted to a behavioral health unit at a children's hospital. This is wokeness on steroids. And then it was in Florida. And I guarantee you there's going to be some backlash and blow up over this, as well there should be. This 12-year-old felt she was being bullied, which is the first thing. I mean, I thought even wokeness, you should be agreeing with that, right? You don't think we should have bullies, right? This girl was just simply playing video games. And because many thought, well, mostly boys do that, not girls, well, then you must be transgender. Or maybe you should have transgender surgery. And since kids parrot what they hear from adults many times, oh, they're listening. They're listening. You know it comes back to haunt you from time to time, doesn't it? Oh, I didn't think they heard me say that. Yeah, they did. Where'd you learn that word? I was listening to you, Daddy. Oh, yeah. But in this case, this child, the counselor, once they saved the girl from trying to hang herself in the bathroom a second time, is still not really calling the parents. They're just talking to the girl. Then they decide, okay, we'll better call the parents, but won't let them see her. Or he turn her over to police, tell the police you got to take her. The first event, they should have had the parents involved. But the counselor, I'm guessing, is one of those that just says, well, the child should be able to make their own decisions. Maybe she isn't really a boy in a girl's body. Now, I don't know if that's what the counselor was thinking. It's not here, but it's all part of a lawsuit now. We're going to find out exactly what was going on behind the scenes. It'll probably be settled out of court. But that child, 12 years old, trying to commit suicide 2 days, back-to-back before the parents were called, and then they couldn't get access to their child for a period of time. This cancel culture, wokeness, all this stuff, you're going to hurt children so deeply, scarring them for life. Thank you for listening. Remind others we're on the air, William. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.